All right. Well, this is it. James, we're done after today. Bye, James. All right. We've been in it since January. All right. It's now June. And man, what a journey. So we're going to talk about the last couple verses. All right. In James. And then we're going to go around. And I'm not going to probably pick on anybody. I would say probably because you always need to leave that yourself some freedom. And I want you to give me something or give us something, I should say. Give us something that, you know, stood out to you in James. And you can use today's passage, but then you'd have to use something else too, because that's not really fair. You know, it's just one thing. You know, we used to do one thing and you know, something that maybe it's you were convicted on, maybe something that was new to you, maybe something that you didn't, you're like, I'm still struggling with that, understanding it or putting it in practice or whatever. Just one thing about James. And if obviously we're not going to call you and make you, you know, you don't have anything, it's, you know, put you on the spot. That's okay. So don't worry about it. We're not going to we'll try not to embarrass you. Not that, you know, we're family. We don't get embarrassed, right? Right? Or like, no, I don't know about that. All right. Question for you. Let's start off with this. How many have heard the quote, "Not all who wander are lost"? Ever hear that quote? Big on Instagram social media, right? On those Instagram travel social sites, like, you know, the influencers, right? See that a lot out there. Not all who wander are lost. Anybody know where that quote came from, by the way?
It wasn't James.
It's interesting because it's actually from Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote that in a poem called, what is the poem called? Something about Strider. I think it was, man, I don't even know what the quote was or what I think a Riddle of Strider. Remember that, Raymond? Do you know Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Riddle of Strider? Do you remember that poem or riddle where he says, not all who wander are lost?
Yeah,
it's Lord of the Ring. Well, yeah, there you go. I knew you would know. That's why I was glad you weren't here when I asked. I read you what I answered. But I just got called a nerd. Ah, all right. And maybe that's true, right? I mean, in the case of Lord of the Rings, you know, there's kind of some hidden meaning in there. Strider is Aragorn, and Aragorn is a wanderer, but is he, you know, lost, you know, or not, right? Same kind of with Frodo and Gandalf. There's some wandering in there, but are they really lost or, you know? But anyway, James kind of says the same thing today to some degree. And as we wrap up this series in James, I think it's fascinating how he ends his letter. Right, because he's kind of been going, you know, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, kind of thing all the way through. And he says, and he's going to give one exhortation to the brothers and sisters in Christ about a specific group of people. All right. So if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. All right. Says this, James 5, 19, 20. My brothers, we've heard that before. That's James loves to say, my brothers or my brothers and sisters. You know, he's speaking, right, to the body. And he wants you to know that. My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I guess if I were to ask you how many of you have wandered from the faith to some degree, we used to call it back in my day backsliding, right? You know, you're living for Christ and then you decide, you know, you kind of want to do your own thing and live for the world. And, you know,
like we call 90s Christian song.
Yeah, backsliding was it, man. That was the term. I don't know if you, some of you have other terms, but that was it for us in our churches. You know, you were a backslidden Christian. If you wandered from the faith. Now, if I were to ask you how many of you have wandered, how many of you ever backslidden or have a time in life that were backslidden? Yes, right? Almost, I mean, probably should. Everybody would raise their hand to some degree, right? We've all wandered because we are sinners, right? We sin. Now, here's the thing about this passage, and like some other passages in James, it's not there's not unanimous consent on what James is talking about. And not every preacher or theologian says that this is what he's talking about. Because, you know, if you look at it, it says, you know, it's pretty easy. If any of you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, okay, well, that we get that. You know, because we've all wandered from the truth and we maybe have had people help us come back. But then it says, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Well, first of all, only Christ, right, can save. Right? Only Christ's blood covers our sin. Right? So what does he mean there? And who's he talking to? We can get into, we'll probably talk about it again, but I kind of want to talk right off the bat about who he's talking to. Or who he's talking about. Because he says, you know, some people say he's just talking about those who are Christians in the church and they wander a little way away from the Lord through some sin and some other things and go get them. Like, go bring them back. The problem with that is that he says, well, from his wandering will save his soul from death. Right? And so he's speaking of not your first death, but of your second death. Right? He's speaking of your second death, meaning your soul being cast into hell if you're in for eternal death. If you don't know Christ. Right? So there's this idea then that he's talking to people within the church who really aren't saved. People who come to church, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but really aren't saved. So I kind of broke this because I want to do it kind of quick because we want to do the one thing, and we want to share, we'll take, you know, the Lord's table today, and so we want to save time. But I did it in three sections. All right, number one is the reality. Number one is the reality. The reality is this: everybody wanders eventually at some point in their life, in their Christian walk. Everybody wanders, right? Because we wander, we sit stray, we sin, right? We like to take what the world offers, right? But other people wander in from the church because they were never really of the faith, right? That's the reality. They may be in the church, but the Bible is clear that people can drift away, and that could show that they aren't one of us. You say, oh, that's pretty strong words. Let's look at some other verses. Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews 2:1 says this: therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Right? This idea that it is easy to drift away if we're not careful. And this idea that if we neglect a great salvation, that there's even more to it than just walking away from the faith. But even more so, 1 John 2:19 says this: they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not one of us. Right? Who's he talking to? Well, if you look at 1 John, that chapter, he's talking a lot of stuff there. But he's talking about people who look like they're in of faith, right? They're in the body of Christ as far as the church, the local church setting. But they're not one of us. Now, you know, we don't really like to use that term because that term has historically not been good, right? Saying that phrase, they're not one of us, you're not one of us, you know. But in this case, it holds true, right? Because either you're a Christ follower or you're not. There's nothing in between. There's nothing on either side. Either you're a Christ follower or you're not. So if we're talking about the body of Christ, those who are truly saved, right? Then everybody else, right, is not one of us, okay? And so the reality is that there are people within the body of Christ or the church who are not truly saved, right? John Piper would say it this way: straying away from the faith into persistent sin will lead to death without forgiveness. The final proof of who is a brother or sister is not, and who is not, the final proof of who is a brother and sister and who is not, is perseverance of faith, not profession of faith. Right? Anybody can say, yeah, I got saved. Right? But those who persevere, right, in their faith are truly saved. Now, are people who wander then, everybody wander, not saved? No, not at all. That's not what we're talking about. Talking about those who say, oh, I was saved when I was whatever age, you know, 13 or 14, I got saved. And then the rest of their lives, they're in persistent sin and don't care. And that's not for me to say whether they're saved or not, truly. God will judge that. But James is saying, go get that person because they're in trouble. Go get that wanderer because they're in trouble. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, he said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Right? It's perseverance. Right? Of the words of Jesus, following Jesus, perseverance. And so the reality is, yes, we all wander. And yes, right, there are Christians who wander, true Christians. A people of faith, but they come back. I heard a preacher once say, you know, it's always interesting because some people want, like, they're like, how do I know if I'm truly saved? I gave my life. I know I did, but you know, those feelings persist sometimes. And he says, you know, for one, and this wasn't a coverall for everybody, every single Christian, but he said, for many, how you know you're truly saved is when you wander, but you want to come back, right? You want to come back. If you're not saved, then you don't care. Persistent sin, persistent living, sin living, it doesn't faze you, right? Because you were never saved to begin with. But when you wander and you have this desire somewhere along to come back, it shows all along that you truly care. Like you, that God is in you, right? That the Spirit is in you and He's active in you, working in you, bring you back. Mm-hmm. And so that's good news, right? That's encouragement. Mm-hmm. But we say, woe to the person, right, living in persistent sin for long periods of time, and maybe we don't know. We're not God. We can't judge. So what does James say? It's go get the wanderer. Just go get the wanderer. So that's the reality, is that there's wanderers in the church. In our church, for sure. In every church, for sure. The responsibility, God puts it on the church, on the people of the church, which is fascinating to me. The responsibility to go get the wanderer is on us. Isn't that interesting? That to me is fascinating. That God has given us that responsibility to go get the wanderer. But that then bears an assumption. That believers are made when we're brought into the family of God, when we are saved, that we have to be involved deeply with the body of Christ. Right? Because think about it. For us to go get the wanderer, we have to know who's wandering. For us to know who's wandering, we need to be deeply involved with the people in our church. How else would we know? Now, some are so blatant. Give you that, right? Some are so blatant, they walk away and they're just like, you know, like, what happened? We know people like that. You're like, that's not, what happened to them? Right? But often it's subtle, or it starts very small, and we see it when we're involved in people's lives. We start seeing some poor choice, and we're like, right? We know where this leads. We have to be involved in each other's lives. Galatians 6:1 says this, brothers. Funny, right? Paul uses brothers also. If anyone caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of condemnation. No, that's not what it says, right? You should, right? Who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. And then Paul in verse 10 goes, and he goes, so that as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Right. We have to be involved in each other's lives. And this section hurt me, right? For a couple of reasons. One, because I've been somewhat neglecting in this area, right? Two, because I believe that if there are home church, and I hate to use the term, it's not really an experiment, but the home church experiment, what we're doing, fails It'll be because we don't take this serious. We don't take this serious, right? We are not meant to just gather on Sundays. This is great, right? Love it. Love seeing everybody in a smaller setting. I love having eating with people and hearing about what you think about the sermon or what you think was going on with your week, or, you know, what, just a little bit more intimate setting, longer conversation periods. Wonderful. But if that's where I stop, Sunday afternoon, everybody leaves, right? Or I come back from whatever house, you know, we were at. And everybody, you know, we sit on our couch, or we mow our lawn, or we go out, whatever we're doing. But from that moment, Sunday afternoon, till Saturday night, right? Or Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, we have no interaction ever with the body of believers. That's a problem. God does not call it. There's nowhere in the New Testament can we find that. We cannot find it because we are not meant to live that way. Now, I get it. Brooks and I have talked about this many times. It's hard in our situations because we live, you know, geographically we live in various locations. It's not like, you know, when you think of Acts chapter 2, where they're all gathered and they're all eating together and they're all doing, yeah, okay, well, they live, you know, literally on top of each other. I was in Israel and they're like, boom, 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 like, and they show the rooms. And I'm like, yeah, I was, of course they're eating together. And even when you're not eating together, you're eating together because you're so close together. All right. So a little easier, understood. But we're not saying every night. We're saying, who are we gathering? See, for me, it's, I could use the excuse, well, I meet with lots of people in the church because half the church is my family, right? Easy. But that's not what he's talking about either. Yes, I have a responsibility as, you know, husband and father to my kids. And, you know, as a church leader, still, there's still responsibility, but there's more people in our church than that. And so I have to ask myself, what am I doing? Am I doing from Sunday afternoon to Saturday at night or Sunday morning, whatever, who in the past month have I gathered with? And sometimes that's, you know, maybe husband and wife, maybe that's, you know, three or four friends. It's not necessarily a one-on-one thing. It's because, let's face it, it's hard, right? We work all day. You come home at night, you're like, man, I ain't going out, right? Tired, right? And things going on. Maybe your work is stressful. Chris is traveling, right? All when you have to travel and then you're just, all those things are difficult. All of them are difficult, hard. But we cannot go get the wanderer. We cannot, as Galatians says, all right, 6, we cannot have opportunity to do good to everyone, especially those that are in a household of faith, if we're not with them. And I want to say again, like last week, man, my heart was overjoyed. Why? Because so many people showed up. And it was hot, right? It was hot, man. It was brutal. And yet everybody's there and we're having fun. And, you know, it's just a good time. And I'm thinking, man, I love this church. Right. That's great stuff. But there's even more. There's even more. Right. And so what I want to say is the responsibility to go get the wander, the responsibility to love one another and love somebody so much that you truly care about their wandering. God has said, I'm putting that responsibility on you, church, to go get the wanderer. Now, God will be involved. His spirit through you will work. And if they're, you know, some, we're talking about unsaved people. So that means going and having difficult conversations, going and saying, hey, Lord, before you go, remember James 1, pray for wisdom, right? Lord, I need wisdom. I'm going to get the wanderer, but I don't know what to say or what to do. First Peter 4:8 kind of, I think, echoes this when he says this, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, obviously, and I thought, I probably shouldn't use that verse because people are going to say, wait, love covers a multitude of sins? Because I thought only Christ can cover sins. And you would be right. Only Christ can cover sins. When he talks about like that, it's more about Christians forgiving faults in others, right? Because we know that God, through his grace, has forgiven our faults, right? So we're covering their sins in the sense like, okay, yeah, they may have done some stuff. They may have said some stuff. They may be, but I still love them, okay? But above all, keep loving one another earnestly. And I don't know if maybe there's a way. And I just didn't think of it. I don't see it in scripture, but is there a way to love people earnestly without being with people? And especially when we're talking about the people within our church. Is it? Can you? What would be the difference if I say I love my wife, right? More than anything here on earth. But then made sure I never spent a second with her. Right? Huh. You'd all be like, somebody just said, you're the wanderer, right? And they go, come get me. Well, responsibility falls on the church. And church, it's okay. I'm not here. Listen, I failed. I was reading this and I'm like, man, thank you. He'll beat up again. We have to do better. And I'm not saying God's put a little tablet on there. Okay, you did a Thursday of July. Maybe not. Oh, you missed August. So no, that canceled out July. You gotta start again. No, not at all, right? That's not how God operates. Just that we love people and say, man, I'm gonna do it. Maybe it's I'm gonna start. I don't do it at all. So I'm gonna start once a quarter. I'm hanging with somebody. I'm gonna make it a priority to hang with somebody. Of course, there's some of you who have tried to hang with people and you've been turned down, right? There's a responsibility on the other way too, right? If you're a wanderer, a saved wanderer, especially if you're a Christian wanderer and somebody contacts you and they want to get together with you and, they start maybe even saying stuff, how do you respond? I'm not going to get all into that, but there is some responsibility there too on how you respond. Mm-hmm. But we gather corporately, weekly, right? Monthly with the other group. And maybe we do some things like last Sunday or last Saturday, We gather corporately to help, and that's commanded and vital and wonderful. There's more, though. There's more. Right? So the responsibility of church friends, the result? Man, what a great result, though, isn't it? Look at the result. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Wow. That's a pretty nice result. I'm thankful because I had a friend that brought me back as a wanderer. Man. Paul says, I became all things to all men that I might be all, but I might by all means save some. And I use that verse because I think that's Paul is saying, is Paul doing the saving? Are we doing the saving when the result is, if you go get the wanderer, you'll save their soul? And God still does the saving, but he's using you and me in that work to save. Isn't that crazy? He's using us to go get people to save them. And cover their sins. God uses different means, different times to bring people to himself. We know that, right? In this case, God is using church members, us, to bring back people from straying and keeping each other safe. The love that God covers, the love of God that covers a multitude of sins. He's using us. And the result is, save, cover a multitude of sins. And if you think about James, all the whole book of James, it makes sense, doesn't it? That the church has to be involved, that we have to be members who love the body so much that we want to be with each other. That we don't, even when it was easier to sit in our house on a Thursday night, out of love, we say, man, I have to call this person. Right? I have to see how they're doing. Maybe it's meet, maybe it's calling the phone, maybe it's whatever. But there's some interaction with the church body. That we have the privilege of being that. And when James is talking about be doers of the word, not hearers only, right? When he says pray for wisdom, when he says don't be worldly, when he says have patience, All those things, and on he goes, all those things are easier or more bearable because they're hard things when we have other people to talk about it with and encouraging us to keep on keeping on. I mean, I don't know about you. I love being encouraged. Right? Anybody not like being encouraged? No, I hate being encouraged. Right? I mean, so there's a part of all of us, I think, that wants, and I don't mean just like people telling you what you want to hear. I mean, just encouragement. When the church members, and this goes for the, you know, Big C Church, when we stop using our tongues, remember our tongue, James, to tear down other people, to tear down one another, right? And instead use them to call others, call back others from wandering, the body of Christ fulfills its mission and its call to be doers of the word. I know it's hard hitting. He ends. It's James. It's got to be hard hitting, right? Can't end the chapter on something easy, right? And so we understand the reality, we understand the responsibility, and hopefully we understand and have seen the reward. I'm a living testament of one who wandered and somebody coming and finding me and saying, right. And isn't God good that he brings back the wanderer? I mean, think about that. Right? He died. Christ died for our sins, right? Nailed to a cross, beaten, tortured, nailed to a cross, buried, risen. And then we commit the sins that he died for. And then, not only that, we wander. We say, forget, enough. I mean, we don't say that. We say it through action. Right? And God says, that person, bring him back. Go get the wanderer. They're too valuable to me. I don't want to lose them. Are you a person who values the body of Christ, loves the body of Christ, desires to be an all-in member of the body of Christ? I don't want you to answer that between you and God. When we see, we grew up, I grew up church, this kind of a Sunday deal, right? This kind of going Sunday. And I think in our nation, that's kind of how we view it. I was reading a book. I don't remember which one. I had a couple going on, so I don't remember. But reading a book, and one of them, the pastor had went and served overseas at a place where they have an underground church. Right? Because they can't be out and open about their faith. And so he asked the people, well, he asked the pastor about what books are the church's favorite. One of his books is James. He said, James, these are suffering people. Why? Because he's talking to suffering people. Right. And we get it. And the pastor was saying, like, these guys were all in, right? They're all in. They could be thrown in jail, killed, whatever. But they're all in with each other, checking on one another, encouraging one another to keep them in the faith so they don't, at the end, wander. So there's a whole idea of when we're doing this, if we're meeting one another, if we're hanging, talking to one another, if we're loving one another, then you get less wandering because people are always involved. When you start thinking, man, I want to do this. I want to. The person that loves you and cares for you and is involved with you says, no, don't quit. God is worth it. Persevere, brother, sister. And so I love how James wraps it up. My brothers, sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Go get the wanderer. Go get the wanderer because you know who the wanderer is because you are invested in their lives. Don't be a rock unto yourself, right? Doesn't work. Christian life's not meant to work that way. You cannot read James and think I can do this on my own. I got it. You can't do it. The help of the Spirit through the help of the body of Christ. And when we do, we see a vibrant church at work. All right.